mask that made me look like a crooked version of Spider-Man. Without the ability to participate in the same daily activities as my friends and family, I felt partially separated from society, and as a consequence started to observe the very activities that were once my daily routine, as if I were an outsider. As if I had come from a different culture or planet, I started reflecting on the goals of different behaviors, mine and those of others. For example, I started wondering why I loved one girl but not another, why my daily routine was designed to be comfortable for the physicians but not for me, why I loved going rock climbing but not studying history, why I cared so much about what other people thought of me, and mostly, what it is about life that motivates people and causes us to behave as we do. During the years in the hospital following my accident, I had extensive experience with different types of pain, and a great deal of time between treatments and operations to reflect on it. Initially, my daily agony was largely played out in the bath, a procedure in which I was soaked in disinfectant solution. The bandages were removed, and the dead particles of skin were scraped off. When the skin is intact, disinfectants create a low-level sting, and in general, the bandages come off easily. But when there is little or no skin, as in my case because of my extensive burns, the disinfectant stings unbearably. The bandages stick to the flesh, and removing them, often tearing them, hurts like nothing else I can describe. Early on in the burn department, I started talking to the nurses who administered my daily bath in order to understand their approach to my treatment. The nurses would routinely grab hold of a bandage and rip it off as fast as possible, creating a relatively short burst of pain. They would repeat this process for an hour or so until they had removed every one of the bandages. Once this process was over, I was covered with ointment and with new bandages, in order to repeat the process again the next day. The nurses, I quickly learned, had theorized that a vigorous tug at the bandages, which caused a sharp spike of pain, was preferable, to the patient, to a slow pulling of the wrappings, which might not lead to such a severe spike of pain, but would extend the treatment, and therefore be more painful overall. The nurses had also concluded that there was no difference between two possible methods, starting at the most painful part of the body and working their way to the least painful part, or starting at the least painful part and advancing to the most excruciating areas. As someone who had actually experienced the pain of the bandage removal process, I did not share their beliefs, which had never been scientifically tested. Moreover, their theories gave no consideration to the amount of fear that the patient felt anticipating the treatment, to the difficulties of dealing with fluctuations of pain over time, to the unpredictability of not knowing when the pain will start and ease off, or to the benefits of being comforted with the possibility that the pain would be reduced over time. But given my helpless position, I had little influence over the way I was treated. As soon as I was able to leave the hospital, for a prolonged period, I would still return for occasional operations and treatments for another 5 years, I began studying at Tel Aviv University. During my first semester, I took a class that profoundly changed my outlook on research and largely determined my future. This was a class on the physiology of the brain, taught by Professor Hanan Frank. In addition to the fascinating material Professor Frank presented about the workings of the brain, what struck me most about this class was his attitude to questions and alternative theories. Many times when I raised my hand in class or stopped by his office to suggest a different interpretation of some results he had presented, he replied that my theory was indeed a possibility, somewhat unlikely, but a possibility nevertheless, and would then challenge me to propose an empirical test to distinguish it from the conventional theory. Coming up with such tests was not easy. But the idea that science is an empirical endeavor in which all the participants, including a new student like myself, could come up with alternative theories, as long as they found empirical ways to test these theories, opened up a new world to me. On one of my visits to Professor Frank's office, I proposed a theory explaining how a certain stage of epilepsy developed, and included an idea for how one might test it in rats. Professor Frank liked the idea, and for the next 3 months, I operated on about 50 rats, implanting catheters in their spinal cords and giving them different substances to create and reduce their epileptic seizures. One of the practical problems with this approach was that the movements of my hands were very limited.